This Chicago Bulls team continues to shock. Shock people that doubted them, shock people that came into the season and thought that the Bulls really wouldn't amount to much, but more importantly, shock some people that thought after the Bulls' five-game losing streak that it was all going to be over and done and the Bulls had fallen back down to earth. The Bulls walked into Denver, they handled the Nuggets to give them their first home loss on the season and survived a performance from Jokic that was crazy. They did it with grit, place, and clutch shooting as well. And of course, the bench mob showed up back. We're going to talk about exactly how the Bulls pulled this off and why the Bulls are heading into the stretch of the season where they need to be taking a care of business and moving back up the standings in the Eastern Conference. We'll talk about all that. Plus, is Noah Sga having a more clear path to minutes on the NBA level? We'll talk about all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content today, y'all. And the Chicago Bulls pulled off a victory yesterday against Nikola Jokic. They overcame a slow start by the starters. The bench unit came in and set the tone. I talk about all this on the post-game show where I broke down the game exactly and the ins and outs of that game. And I'll tell you what, I'm hugely impressed by the way that this team came in and competed in that game. And you got to give credit to the bench. 66 bench points compared to only 9 for the Denver Nuggets in yesterday's game. And this was a game where the Bulls really just completely out-hustled the Denver Nuggets. Now, I want to be clear. The Denver Nuggets could have absolutely won that game. And the Bulls still had some execution things down the stretch that put the Nuggets in a position to be able to win a game where they were outworked on. The Bulls had more points in the paint. They had more second chance points. They had more fast break points. They had way more bench points. We had more turnovers, but we actually scored more points off turnovers than the Denver Nuggets. And all those things, the Bulls still were able, to get the win. Now, this is a team that's still learning how to win. Some of those fourth quarter kind of concerns still reared their ugly head in this game against the Chicago Bulls, where the Bulls allowed the Denver Nuggets to go on several runs that put them back in a position to win this game as things go on. But, you know, I'll say with this one, with this team, right, because we know that this team is learning to win, and all of the wins basically for this team have come against teams that are slated to be going into the playoffs, you know, I'll give them a little bit of credence and credit to that, you know, they were able to still weather it despite that. But it is definitely something I want this coaching staff to look at. The Bulls came in to the fourth quarter with a 2-point lead, right? I want to be clear there. The Denver Nuggets, the Bulls didn't win on a 7-5 run. They came into the fourth quarter with a 10-point lead. They went on a 7-5 run at the beginning of that to push that lead up to 12, in the beginning of the fourth quarter. But then the Nuggets went on a 7-6 run, then a 5-2 run, right? Which saw the Bulls down by 2 points with 1 minute and 43 seconds left on the clock. The Bulls then go on a 10-4 stretch from 1 minute and 25 seconds to 11 seconds left, right? And then the Nuggets go on a 3-2 stretch. But the Bulls pulled out the win. And that's the most important thing, is continue to find ways to win. And we just saw something as well where Billy Donovan trusted the bench players on the second of a back-to-back. He allowed those bench players to stay in that game for a long time. They really changed the tide of that game. It was 4 minutes and 5 seconds left in the first quarter when the bench units stepped into that game. At that point in time, the Chicago Bulls, they were down 16-22. They then go on a 14-6 run to take the lead 30-28. They then open up the second quarter with a 20-4 run that lasts from the 12-minute mark to the 7-minute mark that put the Bulls up 50-32. But then the Denver Nuggets went on a 32-13 run, and it was just a really close back-and-forth game basically after that. Yes, the Bulls did get the lead back up to 13 points at one point in time, but you know, it was basically a back-and-forth game. These are the type of wins that build character and teach your team how to win, but now we got to actually learn the lesson, because we've talked about that before as far as it being a game where the Bulls can pull some lessons from, but then we end up doing and repeating the same mistakes, right? You got to make sure that you're pulling and understanding and learning that lesson, and we'll see, right? The Bulls, you know, grabbed really big leads in this game. They, like I said, they outworked the Denver Nuggets several times in this game, which I want to give them tons of credit for. The way the Bulls attacked the glass as well was really big in this one. We tied the Denver Nuggets in rebounding. Keep in mind, the Denver Nuggets are one of the best rebounding teams in the game of basketball. They were second in defense rating, second in offense rating coming into this game, and they were running through teams. And the Bulls gave them their first home loss as well, which is, you know, great to see. The Bulls continue to beat really good teams. Now, the thing that the Bulls have to do, and we'll talk about the stretch coming up for the team, they have to beat the teams that they're supposed to beat, right? And let's hope that they can do that. But I'm fine with giving the Denver Nuggets their first home loss. That's perfectly okay for me. We don't win in Denver very often. And this team is just continuing to find ways to get it done. Now, this is coming off the back of a 5-game losing streak where a lot of Bulls fans have lost some hope after that, right? But the Bulls exchanged some buckets. Jalen Smith was absolutely great. I'm you know, going to be listening out to see any injury news with him. He got his shoulder kind of, you know, pulled a little bit, had tons of ice on that shoulder. He did get back into the game for a little bit, but you could tell he wasn't himself and what he was early in that game. But you got to give tons of credit for Jalen Smith and Javon Carter, right? I want to give both those guys tons of credit because we don't win the game if it isn't for the contributions of them. Jalen Smith with 16 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists in that game, as well as steal. Also, no block shots for him. But then you had Javon Carter going 5 of 10 from 3-point range for his 15 points, and we needed every single one of those. Io DeSumo with 21 points. Somebody asked towards the end of the live stream yesterday, is Io DeSumo in 6th man of the year consideration? And my response to that always is, to be really being 6th man of the year conversation, you have to be on a winning team. And somebody correct me in the comments if you could think of a different example. I don't want to know if there's been any recent example of a 6th man of the year coming from a team with not a winning record. So the Bulls got to be above 500 to get that done. But for what it's worth, Io's averaging his career best basically across the board. 15 points per game, a career best for him. He's doing that in 25 minutes per game, which actually is a career low for him. So he's giving you more points on less minutes. And that just shows how Io has continued to refine his game, right? And this is a guy that before the season started, some people were saying the Bulls should move Io DeSumo, that he didn't fit the team and all that type of stuff that we hear, rhetoric that we hear. Io is averaging the most shots of his NBA career at 10 shots per game, and he's hitting it at 55%, the highest mark of his NBA career. He's shooting the ball 46% from three, the highest mark of his NBA career as far as percentage-wise, and making 90% of his free throws. Again, a high mark in his NBA career. Io is getting it done. And, you know, when you have Jalen Smith and you get the contributions from Javon, P-Will played some really good defense, even on Jokic at times yesterday. But Jalen Smith's defense on Jokic was great to see, right? And so all these things have come together now for this Bulls to get this win, but now you need to build off of it. And that leads us into our next topic, right? Is, can the Bulls get back on track? How can they get back on track, right? That's the question that's here. The Bulls are now 1 game above 500. They've done that with the toughest schedule in the NBA. Of the Bulls' 13 games played so far, they're 7-6 on the season, 11 of those teams were above 500. 11 of those teams, of those games, or 11 of those games were against teams above 500, because we played the New York Knicks twice, right? But 11 of those games were against teams that were above 500. And that's the only two games that we played against below 500 teams. And unfortunately, we did drop one of those to the Utah Jazz. It is what it is there. But that is why we're having this conversation. The Bulls need to take care of business. And that is what they need to do on the street. Over the Bulls' next 12 games, right? So over the next 12 games, we'll put the Bulls at the end of this 25 games into the season, right? And I think that's a nice sample size. It's still a little bit less than halfway through the season, but 25 games is a nice sample size. Over the next 12 games, the Bulls face off against 7 teams below 500. 7 teams below 500 out of 12 games, right? And one of the games, you know, that aren't against a team below 500, against a team at 500, right? So we'll talk about that. But this is where the Bulls have to beat the teams that they're supposed to beat, right? They have to do that. And if they can't, that's where things get a little tough for the Chicago Bulls, and that's where things have typically fell apart for the Bulls. It's like the Bulls have these moments where they beat teams that they shouldn't beat, and then they lose games that people looked at as gimmies. The Bulls can't do that. Now, the next two games are difficult games, right? You're taking on Portland, who I know Portland's record is what it is, right? But they sit at 6-7 on the season, so they're one of those below 500 teams. But Portland Trailblazers are a team that drastically remind me of the Baby Bulls era, the Kurt Conrick, Lou Alding. Although they just fight and compete. They're sound defensively. They're really good. We're not going to preview that game in full today. We're going to wait till tomorrow when we get closer to that. But you got Denny Avdija averaging 26. You got Shaedon Sharpe averaging 22 points. You got Jeremy Grant averaging 18. Jrue Holiday averaging 16. And Kamara averaging 12 with the defense that he brings to that team. This is a team that gets things done. and they play really good team basketball and they're locked in. And so you got to really look at that and prepare for that game. You cannot overlook that. And then after that, you got Miami. That's always a tough matchup for the Bulls. Their defense has taken several steps back, but their offense and the way that they've reinvigorated and kind of redesigned what their offense wants to be this season has been great to see from that team and for that fan base. And so we're headed to a matchup against them. We got to be prepared for them. They're 14th in defensive rating, 12th in offensive rating, 13th in overall rating in the NBA. They sit at 8-6 on the season. That's going to be an important Eastern Conference matchup. And then the Bulls get into a stretch of easier games, right? Washington, New Orleans, Charlotte, Indiana, Orlando, Brooklyn, and Indiana again. That's six straight games against teams that are either at 500 or below. That's where the Bulls have to make their move at. I'm not expecting them to win every one of those games. I would love it if they can. I mean, we've seen teams go on great runs before. Now I'm a red lights out. We've seen teams go on great runs before. So I'm looking for this team to be able to go on another one of those runs, start stacking wins. I would love to see the Bulls out of these next 12 come out 9-3. If they can do something like that, that puts them in a really good position, you know, heading in at 25 games in at that point in time, right? They would be, if they go 9-3, they'd be 16-9. And I think that's a pretty solid space to be in as a team 25 games in that dealt with a five-game losing streak. Of course, it's not ideal. You'd like to see the Bulls, you know, they could have won easily three or four of those games that they lost on those five-game losing streaks. But that is why learning how to win, doing what you need to do consistently, playing a full four quarters is important in basketball. And if the Bulls can do that, that's where they can start making their move and start winning some of these games. So over this stretch, right, because it's easy to say, hey, we got an easier stretch coming out, but what is going in the Bulls? Oh, wait, before we get into that, let's talk about the teams that are above 500. So we face off against the Miami Heat, the Orlando Magic, the Golden State Warriors, and the Cleveland Cavaliers twice. Those are the teams that are either 500 or better on that next 12-game stretch for the Chicago Bulls, right? That's going to be important. This is where the Bulls need to make their move. So how can they make their move? What is going in favor for the Chicago Bulls over this stretch? One, the first thing, Kobe White is back, right? And he's just not playing back-to-backs. The Bulls have two more sets of back-to-backs between now and the end of November. That means he's at least missing two more games, right? So that's where you can take on that. Two more sets of back-to-backs. You're not going to have Kobe White in those games, but we've won without Kobe before. We got Kobe White back. That means he's going to help in a lot of those games, which is really good. We need that help. We need that production from Kobe White. Next up, Zach Collins should be making his return around the end of November, beginning of December, based on the timeline that they gave us before. He's supposed to be reevaluated at the end of this week. And, you know, it's about just building up the strength in the wrist. His conditioning's fine. He's been able to stay up on all those things. So just becomes about, is the strength in the wrist back where they want it to be by the end of this week? And if it is, we can see Zach Collins back on the basketball court for the Chicago Bulls starting off in that game against New Orleans. I do think that's where they kind of penciled in our target is return. So Monday, November 24th against New Orleans, that's where the earliest that we could probably see Zach Collins back. And that would put him back right in that stretch against those teams below 500 and one team at 500 in the Orlando Magic. So that's another thing that's going in favor of the Chicago Bulls is that you're going to be basically fully healthy. Now we're dealing with this Trey Jones thing. I was dealing with a hamstring thing that had him was questionable last game and on its minutes restriction. But other than that, we could very well see the Bulls back at full health here by the end of November. And going into the last week of November, which would set them up really nicely to go on that stretch that we're talking about where they can start stacking some wins, right? And then things to kind of look for over the stretch. What the fuck is going on with Nikola Vucevic? Vuce has been bad. And as somebody that's defended Vuce over the years, in yesterday's episode, I really broke down how Vuce's game has changed, even though the production on the stat sheet has stayed largely the same, how his game has changed. So go and watch yesterday's daily episode, or go and listen to that podcast if you're on the podcast side to kind of hear the ins and outs and that reared its head in yesterday's game as well, even though Vuce hit a big shot, right? But what the fuck is going on with Nikola Vucevic? How long does this downstretch last for him? Is it something that's temporary? Is this something that he's going to come out of on the other side and we're going to be better? He's going to be more like what he was the first six games of the season? Or did all of Vuce's superpowers leave after making that game winner against Philly, right? So what's going on with Nikola Vucevic? How many good games do we get from Nikola Vucevic? And hopefully Jalen Smith doesn't miss any time with Zach Collins out too, because then that's going to really change some things for this Bulls team, right? Then next, is Billy Donovan ready to make some tough decisions with lineups? Now, I said at the end of yesterday's live stream that I don't expect them to bench Vuce. Here's the thing. Again, that's not me saying I don't understand and I don't necessarily agree with y'all that are saying bench Vuce. I just don't expect Billy Donovan to bench Vooch. But just because he's a starter doesn't mean he needs to be a finisher. Just because he's a starter doesn't mean he needs to play 25 minutes every game. I'm looking for Billy Donovan to make some tough rotational decisions on Vooch and say, hey, in games that Vooch doesn't have it and Jalen Smith does, go with Jalen Smith. He's giving you some really good minutes this season. I think that you have to reward players that are playing well, and you have to send messages to players that are playing poorly. And that is Nikola Vucevic, unfortunately, during the stretch. He has not been playing good for the Chicago Bulls, and that message should be sent to him of, hey, if you're not going to be bringing what we're going to bring you at, we're going to give you opportunities to work yourself out of it because you're a vet, you're a former All-Star. But if you're not bringing it, this guy Jalen is, and we're going to ride the hot hand. And so I think that's a question here. Is Billy ready to make the tough decisions with lineups? And that's not just when it comes down to Nikola Vucevic. That's in general as a head coach. Is he ready to make the tough decisions with the lineups? Then lastly, will Isaac Okoro be more consistent with Coby White being more in the lineup, right? Isaac's shooting has been hit or miss. He's had some games where he shot in double figures and looked decently. He's had some games where he couldn't hit a barn, right? Like, and that's an unfortunate side effect of having a player that's so defensively focused and doesn't really have much offense to balance that out, right? And that's something that Billy Donovan's gonna have to look at. Isaac Okoro's averaging 7.8 points per game on 43% shooting and 35% shooting from 3-point range. Those are both near career lows for him. So you got to ask your questions there. He's not really giving you much rebounding-wise or other things like that, so that's another one of those. But if he looks better with Coby White and Josh Giddey out there, the true engines of the Bulls' offense, they're going to create more easy looks, then that nullifies some of that negativity in regards to Isaac Okoro's game. So looking out for that, right? And can the Bulls stay healthy? Is health going to be a thing now? Have we made it through this period of bad health for the Bulls, and now we're going to come out on the other side of that with better health overall? If we do, great. If not, going to be some concerns there. So we'll see what the future does hold for them there. But let me know your questions for the Bulls. Let me know how you feel about them going into this easier stretch of teams at below 500, where most of these games in the next 12 are coming against teams below 500. And if this is where the Bulls can make their move at, and if they can take care of that business and beat some of the teams above 500, we're going to be right back there at looking like a positive spot in the season, right? Now, I do want to talk about this before we get in a little bit into the mailbag. Can we see, one of the things a lot of people are asking about is Noah Essengay and his minutes. And why isn't he playing NBA minutes? And here's the thing. I agree with you. I would love to see Noah Essengay get NBA minutes. I would love to see him get consistent NBA minutes. But because he's not, he's probably going to be down some in the G League. Now, he played one G League game and he dominated, right? And since then, he's been called up, and I do think it's maybe more of a depth thing for that, right? He didn't play in the G League game on Sunday. They don't play again with the Windy City Bulls until Thursday, so that would still put him available for the Portland game on Wednesday. But the thing that we always talked about with Noah Essengay was that he has to dominate the G League. He has to look so much better than the G League competition, and that is something that, you know, at least in one game, he's done. 28 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 game played. Noah's job is to remind the Chicago Bulls that he can dominate that G League competition, and he's ready for more than that. And we'll see, right? I do think it comes down to, I've personally said, I don't think until January until we see Noah Essengay. But I think Noah has shown what he did in his G League, how he can help the Chicago Bulls team. And he looked like one of the best players on the floor. And that's his job to do, is that he looked like one of the best players on the floor in the G League. He fits the Bulls style of play, all those type of things. And I'll say this. I feel comfortable that by the end of the season, we will be seeing minutes for Noah Essengay. I don't know how consistent or what that minutes are going to be, but I do think that. And I think he's going to have probably one to five more G League appearances where that he has to remind Billy Donovan and everybody else, hey, listen, I may not be the most polished NBA player, but I'm better than this. And we'll see what he can bring there, man. You know, he looked great in his one G League game. This is a guy that's played professionally for years as well, right? He fits the Bulls style of play. Bulls are top 3 in pace, right? Top 6 in assist percentage. He's going to have people that can create for him, which is really good. Also, he may not be ready to be a permanent 12-minute guy in the Bulls rotation, but I do think he has shown and he's going to continue to show that he is ready to give some of that. And we'll see what happens with that, man. But overall, with that said, we got one voicemail I want to get into. This one's from Todd.
Hey, what's up, man? It's Todd. Give me a shout. After the Bulls took the L in the double overtime loss, got a couple observations, man, and they're not all bad, actually. But the first of the bad is I hate Mark Davis ref games. I really do. That brother's from Chicago. Not that it matters, but it's always some shit with him. Specifically, those consecutive reviews were nuts. It just took all time and took all of the momentum from the game. I just can't stand that dude when he refs. It's just like, you know, it's never just a straight ahead game. It's always him as the star. So anyway, that's one observation, but also final possession in regulation. Let's talk about it. Giddy drives, misses the layup, and there is no one else there. No one else for the rebound. No one else but Giddy trying to get two rebounds, by the way. This is the reason that people hate three-point culture in the modern NBA. It's giving players a reason to either be lazy by standing on the perimeter, take plays off, or just be bitch-made and not want to go into the paint and battle. That was a game-winning rebound, potentially, and there was no one else down there but Giddy. We got to get that changed. Now for the good. Kobe. First game back, in altitude, on the road, in Utah. This dude picks up exactly where he left off. This is exactly what I thought we were going to get when I said we are doing all of this 5-0 or whatever without Kobe. And why these people were saying, trade Kobe, that's incredibly insane to me. This man is in a contract year and was a potential all-star at the end of last year, won player of the month, and we want to get rid of him? We keep talking about how we're getting our ass handed to us by stars and superstars. Well, y'all, this is what a star looks like. We need a defensive-minded center to balance that two-star turns off of Kobe and Giddy. That's what we need. So I live here in Brooklyn. I watch Nick Claxton all the time. That's, I believe, who we need to go get to. You were right on when you said Chris Paul and Tyson Chandler as an example. I would also say Luka and Gafford, you know, like in terms of percentage of assist to a center that's a defensive-minded center where they get their offense from. Like, we need to go get Nick Claxton almost immediately, if possible. So I think there's a lot of positive to be taken from this loss, if there is one. It's just the fact that it's the fifth in a row that makes us really break our heart, and it was a heartbreaking loss, but it was a fun game, and we saw what we can be. So keep your heads up, y'all, please. This is not it. We are the second youngest team in the league without Vooch. Remember that. Remember that. And we're also 6-6 when we knew we weren't going to be 6-6. Like, let's get it together. Hold your head. We'll be good. But that is a really.
I completely agree. The Bulls need to get it together in attacking the offensive glass as a team, right? It can't just be. It's, and even last night in the win against Denver, it was sometimes where Josh Giddey was the only one going after a rebound. And we need more than that. If we're going to be this team that can fight and compete, you have to gang rebound as a team. You just have to do that, right? Now, to get back to you and Kobe White against the Jazz. Kobe White looked great against the Jazz. And this is why, and no offense to fans, but this is why you can't listen to fans, because fans sometimes are knee-jerky. Fans live in the right now, right? And people are saying, oh my God, Kobe's going to come in here and mess up the chemistry. Oh my God, trade Kobe White now. He's going to come in here, it's going to be about him. He's never been that type of player. And sometimes, quite frankly, fans say dumb shit. That's me included, right? I'm not separating myself. Us as fans, we say dumb shit, right? Over the offseason, I've heard, oh, we should let Kobe go. Oh, Io should be traded. Oh, these guys don't fit. There was one person that every video was like, oh, well, Kobe White's worst games come with Io DeSumo. That's never been the case, right? Never at all been the case. And sometimes fans are more worried about takes than watching actual basketball. Even some of that do watch basketball, they don't know how to really process what they're seeing outside the stat sheet. But this is why I say, NBA teams can't afford to be short-sighted. Fans can be afford to be in the right now. Teams in front offices can't afford to do that, right? And so we'll see, right? But I'll say this. The only way that I think the Bulls should be looking to move one of Kobe or Io is if they feel like that the contract situations aren't going to work out. But it doesn't seem like the team is worried about that. It doesn't seem like the players are worried about that either. And, I would not be surprised. And I actually want to see both Kobe White and Io DeSumo stay on this team. And let's go out and find our big man, like you said. But that's my time for today, guys. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys are like, sharing, and subscribing to the channel. Hit that notification bell if you want to be notified every time that we post as well. This was a statement win for the Chicago Bulls, and they did it in a different way with the bench unit making that statement. The work is not done. It's a softer schedule ahead. Kobe White's back, and we'll see what the Bulls can do. Billy Donovan has some decisions to make if Nikola Vucevic keeps playing this way. But I appreciate y'all as always. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. If you send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, stay safe out there, go Bulls, and always see red, y'all. Love you guys. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
This episode is sponsored by Garden. Groceries are getting more expensive and somehow less fresh. If you're tired of throwing away wilted greens and overpaying for produce that doesn't last, it's time to grow your own. Meet Garden. It's a sleek, soil-free indoor growing system that does the hard work for you. Using automated light and water, Garden grows fresh, clean food in your living room or kitchen all year long. No dirt, no daily chores, no green thumb required. Stop planning your life around grocery runs. Just harvest what you need when you need it. Visit mygarden.com. That's mygardyn.com. Garden. Harvest happiness.